Shame is a very uncomfortable experience. It's hard to sit with, hard to feel, hard to think when shame hammers away at how we see and think about ourselves. And maybe, just maybe, that is the point. Instead of treating shame like a monster, think of it as a messenger, with a message so important, so critical, so life-altering that it will push you to the brink just to get that message across. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, where we talk about applying high leverage psychology in your business and life. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, licensed psychologist, private practice owner, speaker, executive coach, and consultant. I became a psychologist to learn how to leverage psychology and help others do the same. For over a decade, I've been tracking how psychology gets in the way of smart and results-driven people. For years, I've developed frameworks and tools to help them leverage psychology instead to launch themselves forward. It's my mission to share my hard-earned lessons with you so you can launch yourself forward too. I can't wait to talk high leverage psychology with you so you can learn to take higher leverage action today. Let's talk high leverage psychology. Today, I'm uncovering the world of shame inside some of the most successful people and companies. And once you understand the inner workings of shame, you may never see or handle shame the same. So let's jump into it. In most people's minds, shame is kind of a dirty word. It raises the hair on the back of our heads and makes us want to hide in a corner. Given the choice, lots of people would choose to cut out their shame instead of face it. In fact, there are dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of ways people avoid, distract, or numb themselves just not to feel shame. But when you look at highly successful people and how they talk about their shame in their personal stories and in their lives, something different shows up. Like Richard Branson sharing how he was made to feel stupid because of his dyslexia. Or Starbucks founder Howard Schultz talking about how ashamed he felt when his family faced poverty after his father got fired. And inside the details of those stories were little sparks that drove each of them to do bigger and better things. For Richard Branson, it meant acknowledging he didn't fit the mold and leaving school at 15, focusing on breaking conventional thinking, finding smart people and learning how to lead them to do great things. And he's taken that to every company he owns. His shame pushed him to find and lead smarter people to do what many entrepreneurs would have spent decades doing on their own, which is how he can now lead 400 businesses while so many people struggle with just one. And that's exactly how Richard Branson talks about his dyslexia now, that having it drove him to think and be differently, which allowed him to become the person, an entrepreneur, that he is today. For Howard Schultz, he absorbed the tragedy of his dad, who was fired after breaking his hip, slipping on ice at work, and he didn't have medical insurance. And Howard Schultz decided to create a company that lifted its people up instead of punishing them, which is why, for decades, Starbucks had a pristine reputation. They were one of the first companies to give health insurance to part-time employees, even before there was any kind of requirement, and to help employees pay for their college tuition. What do you think would have happened if they never felt any shame? Here's my answer. They might have accepted themselves and life as it was, instead of working to make it better. Or like so many people, they might have wasted their intelligence and energy on drowning out their shame because it wouldn't leave them alone. Instead, they've done something positive and powerful, spectacular even. And they are not alone. They might be outliers, but something drove them to respond differently to shame. What was it? How did they respond differently to shame? And what role did that play in their success? And what can you learn from all of that? Now, before we get to that, there's something we need to acknowledge first. Shame is a very uncomfortable experience. It's hard to sit with, hard to feel, hard to think when shame hammers away at how we see and think about ourselves. And maybe, just maybe, that is the point. Instead of treating shame like a monster, think of it as a messenger, with a message so important, so critical, so life-altering that it will push you to the brink just to get that message across. Really, shame has a unique and powerful ability to motivate us. If we let it in, listen without judgment, and understand what it's saying. In that case, the real question is, will you keep running away from the message, or will you open yourself up to see a hard truth? Before answering that question, though, let's unpack the message that shame is delivering. There are two kinds of shame, and neither one is what you think it is. One kind of shame is calling out that you are violating your own values. If you make a promise to yourself to take care of your body, to get something done, reach for a goal, and you don't live up to your commitment, shame will have plenty to say about it. Same when you break a commitment to someone else, are out of your integrity, or don't live up to a standard that you set for yourself. This is when shame shows up to say, hey buddy, what you're doing isn't aligned with who you really are, or who you want to be. And sometimes it can be a little bit snippy and say, so cut it out. And sometimes it can show up even harsher and say, because of that, you are a terrible human being. And we'll talk about how to handle that in a moment. Real quick, remember the moment an insight here clicked for you? Let's spread more of those aha moments. And here's how you can do that right now. And have my everlasting gratitude. Subscribe, rate, and review. It takes a minute, but it helps other people benefit from your light bulb moment. You can light up a complete stranger's day or a friend's in 60 seconds or less. It would mean the world to me because my mission is to help more people breeze through stress and frustration, overcome setbacks faster, and live their best lives. And more importantly, it can make a world of difference to someone on the verge of a life-changing insight. There's another kind of shame, though. The shame that warns us we're not living up to someone else's values or standard. That could be a business partner, board, investors, or your spouse, kids, or friends. It's less about your standards or values and more about theirs. Like if your daughter wants you to come to her soccer game, and it means the world to her. Whether it's your top priority or value, seeing her reaction, or maybe your spouse's reaction, when it's so important to her, might call up your shame too. And that is separate from whether you might feel shame about it if you value showing up or being there. There's one more message that shame might be sending to you. Sometimes it's trying to get you to rethink what you believe. In other words, it might be asking, do you have to be the person who always has the answer? If that's something that you hold for yourself, do you have to put everyone else's needs before your own just because they are demanding it? If that's how the people around you put value on you or put their values on you. When shame shows up that way, it's not just trying to get you to change what you're doing, it's pushing on your identity. How you think about yourself, the story about who you are and who you want to be. And in that moment, shame is playing a bit of a different role. It's like when lizards shed their skin. Or a hermit crab leaves his shell to go find a bigger one. I know it's not all rainbows and butterflies. Shame is not the kind of awe-inspiring emotion that moves you to be the best version of yourself by showering you with positivity. It can feel like a stick that whacks you in the face. And here's a hard truth to swallow. The more we ignore shame, the harder it will whack us. And I've asked that question thousands of times to hundreds, if not thousands, of clients. It's like a firefighter who shows up to a building with smoke pouring out of a window. They might knock, but they won't wait for the fire to kill everyone and destroy the building. Very quickly, they'll smash the door down to save everyone and everything they can. So, if instead of trying to barricade the door and keep your shame out, if you took shame by the hand and really looked at the issue together with your shame, you might find that shame is actually on your side all along. And then your shame can be a powerful ally, an asset that makes sure you set your standards right and hold yourself to them. Sometimes a painful prod can bring you back to your senses. It's the kind of thing a best friend, loving partner, or deeply invested mentor might do. And that's just what shame is, whether or not you realize it. It cares deeply about who you are, to yourself and to others. So don't hide from shame or blame it for your behavior. Shooting the messenger won't help you, even though that's exactly what shame is here to do, to help you. That's why I think of shame as the emotion of growth. It's here to push you to be your best self and show you when and how you're falling short. Sometimes it's helping you see where you fall short, even though you have more potential. Other times it's helping you see yourself and the world more realistically and pushing you to make a decision and then be creative to accomplish your goals. Just think about how Richard Branson and Howard Schultz leveraged their shame. They don't have a secret superpower, just a different way of seeing themselves and the world. And now, I hope you can see it that way too. And on that note, I'll see you next week. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast is produced by Dr. Yishai and PodTech. Music by www.purple-planet.com. Dr. Yishai is a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with the guest or listener. The information contained in this publication is for general informational purposes only and shall not be relied on or construed as coaching advice or therapy. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thanks again for listening. I hope today's episode fulfilled my mission to help you leverage psychology better in your business and life.